When the day of the Pentecost arrived, they were all together in one place, and suddenly there came from heaven a sound like a mighty rushing wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. And divided tongues as of fires appeared to them and rested on each one of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now they were dwelling in Jerusalem, Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. And at this sound, the multitude came together, and they were bewildered, because each one was hearing them speak in his own language. Acts 2:1-6. Good morning. So the Pentecost arrived, they were all together in one place. I still reference directly back to the heart, soul, mind, thought, word, and deed. What place is it? Eternity in my place. Yes, of course, I seek heaven, I seek eternity. And suddenly there came from heaven a sound like a mighty rushing wind. It's going to brisk us away. Where is it coming from? Heaven, nature. We always look up. When we think of weather, we look up. We don't look down. It doesn't come from below us. It comes from above us, whether it's sun, whether it's wind, hail, snow. We see weather. It comes up above us. We're looking up at the sky. It comes up from us. And it filled the entire house where they were sitting. So they're encompassed. For me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Back to the temple, I think, the synagogue, the focal point, the body, so deeply devoted of being in my place. My place is rest assured within his hands. Yes, it's his. I'm giving it back to him. And divided tongues as of fire appeared to them. So, and divided tongues. Now all of a sudden there is no differences, discrepancies, personal preferences. We're dividing of tongues. How do we acknowledge personal preferences? How do we acknowledge it being an entity, being an asset, or being an inequity to one another? Only because we proclaim it, we confess it, we put verbal reprimandation behind it, we pronounce it, we speak it. Yes, of course, so, and divided tongues, right? As a fire appeared to them. So, and it lights us up. Now we no longer have this division within the church, within the unity, and rested to each and every one of them. Peace and contentment. Put your soul at ease if you would. And I think that takes us to a different spot. The proclamation can be deterrent. It toxifies. You hear somebody say something, they have a different personal preference, and it can spark thoughts of inequity, of doubt, of failure. And you wonder how, come, why, and some of these different variables. But when the tongue gets shut out, and we're reminded, let the hand, the tongue, the foot, the eye not lead you astray. If it does, cut it off or cut it out. Yes, of course. And so I think we take it there. The tongues were divided. No longer is it our personal preferences or divinity that have divided us, but it is our love for God and for Christ, the unconditional. Yes, of course. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Acts 2:4. Some individuals, they have it. They speak the tongues. Yeah, they speak it right within the church. And it's interesting. They say it's a deliverance of the Holy Spirit and God's working within them. I believe that miracles here on earth. Yes, of course, denominational preferences don't define God in Christ nor the Holy Spirit being the enactment, but a little bit different of food for thought, to change the mentality, a sense of casting in devotion of care, putting it back within his hands. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues. So in the previous here, we learned that we were speaking as divided tongues. We were against one another. We were judging. We were condemning. We were saying, my color is black and yours is white. I am bright and you are dark. Good examples. I'm righteous and you're evil. No, you shall be fully submerged. No, I said use holy water and appropriate baptismal. Where is the cloth? I said a seashell. Very good. So as divided tongues of fire, right? And then we were on fire because inequity, ignorance truly is bliss, and it was dividing us. Now we were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. So the Holy Spirit embraces us. It comes into our heart, souls, and mind. It delivers us, and now we're capable. Now we're able. I am delivering the gift of God, but I'm delivering how? And what is the gift of God, by the way? Love. What else could it be? So we have love for one another. Now the personal preferences, the divisions within the church, the body, the state, the moral, the ethical, divine purpose that we embrace in this world is no longer relevant. Rather, the only relevance that we have as we humbly crawl to get on our knees is, well, I have love for God in Christ, and you are a child of God. Nobody better be making any decisions on a child of God. My goodness. Now they're were dwelling in Jerusalem, Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. The reference, I think, Israel, possibly. I think a biblical notion in a sense of the exact hour of death, Hail Mary, right? And I think along those lines, where did this take place? How was it relevant? How was it relevant to them? Who were they back in that time? And who are they now today? Very good. And at this sound, the multitude came together. Now all of a sudden, here we come together, and they were bewildered, stirred crazy, not crazy in a bad way. We're not bitten, bitter, or going upside down or upheaved, but rather we're bewildered. The Holy Spirit is the enactment within us, the fire that we're breathing, the light that we're seeing, because each and every one of us has hearing them speak in his own language. They're not, and the language is relevant though, isn't it? If you hear somebody pronounce, proclaim a language, an interpretation, relevance of scripture, purpose, divinity, within discipline, degree of your personal belief in ethics and morale, then it's a contraceptive? No. It's maternal. It's conception. You're receiving it. You're sponging it. You're absorbing it. You are pregnant in a sense. So you're bringing it to life. You're growing on it, and it's maternal. So I accept the different type of language. But remember, when in Rome, eat like the Romans and worship how the Romans worship. We have to get outside of our own language, because when it comes back down to it, whose language is it in the first place? Well, it's his language. It belongs to him, regardless of how it's written, regardless of the denomination, regardless of the translation. What version are you reading? Yes, of course. I'm still reading God and Christ and the Holy Spirit, the enactment. Somebody said it's a ghost. Sure, if that's what's relevant to you. But it's his language. It's the word of God. And that's what brings us together, because we were hearing them speak in his own language. So the relevance of maturity and advancing in a theological mindset, Christianity, eternity, storing your treasures in heaven, I'm climbing the ladder if you would, is us being capable of interpreting that language and speaking in his language, in our own language. At some point, we take the scripture, we take the belief, the walk, the hope, the faith, the compassion, the caring. Yes, of course, we take this and we walk within it. We start bringing it to life. We own it now. So it's our language. We live within it. We walk within it. We're no longer disciples or servants, but we are converts. We've been converted, and we are capable of carrying out our own. So the language is relevant to how we progress and how the fulfillment is provided to us. Think along the lines of giving, and I don't like so much taken, because God given, taken, I usually go back to creature taken, so I go back to given, God given. If you're given the language of the truth, the Holy Spirit is the enactment, you're speaking it, you're talking about it, it's church, it's body, it's state, you're gathering, you're giving, there's laboring, there's deeds, there's acts that bring this to life and make it fulfillment. Then how in any way, shape, or form shall it, could it be held against you? And I don't think that it is, nor should be, or shall be. You can continue to be thankful, to be alive, and to be redeemed, and be saved in every way, shape, or form. And that's what I was closing up for the Acts. A reminder, though, we are brought together because of the enactment of the way that we speak, the way that we treat one another, and we give credit back to him. But how many different occasions have we faced alternate endings? Our life is completely upheaved. It's turned upside down. I'm experiencing grievance. I'm experiencing a loss. No, she left me. She walked out on me. Something bad happened. It was unconditional. It was an act of God. And I can't account for it. I have no clue or variable of knowing how this happened. But yet here it comes, the Holy Spirit within us. And it is the words, it is the deliverance that brings us back together and enlightens us. It gives us love and compassion for one another. Do we have to have an upheaving event to start caring for one another? Or are we capable of waking up today and saying, well, I have love for you. I have love for you. No, I love you. No, I have love for you. What is it that you need, that you seek, that you require, that I can help? Or do we wait to the exact end of the world and then we say, oh, well, you know, this person's lived without God and Christ for 7 years. Well, how did you know that was so? Well, they haven't had spouses, children. They haven't had fulfillment intellectually, emotionally, physically, spiritually, emotionally, intellectually, economically, substance-wise. Remember, God provides an abundance of everything, but it's only after the fact. How quick are we to jump in the pocket of the other person? And I don't like to point fingers or call names, but how quick are we to judge, to condemn? We're unhappy with ourselves. We don't like the way somebody else is talking, the way that they've decided to live, what God's given them or what God's taken from them. And we're going to be the ones that are going to define their life. How quick are we to change who we are? You know what? It takes testament. It takes devotion right on the floor, crawling down on the ground. Yes, of course, it takes a lot to be invested into Christ and to wake up every morning and to know, regardless of what season you're in, what hour, what demographic, or what location, that I'm no longer fighting the fight. I'm no longer fighting the war. Rather, I am advancing. I'm advancing within Christ. I'm going to put it back within His hands where it belongs. I'm going to give it to Him. I'm going to seek to find love, grace, and glory within every, individual each and every day. But think how fast we go to the other person. Think how fast the investment of tongues, the Holy Spirit, the enactment isn't relevant. Oh, I heard that this is what happened. Well, that ain't going to happen. You ain't going anywhere. No, you're not going to do that anymore. When we start worrying about things that aren't of God, we're going to start having lives that aren't of God. When we start speaking and talking, and that was thought, theory, and reason. When we start speaking and talking and proclaiming things that aren't of God, we're going to be involved with a lot of stuff that ain't of God. When we start walking, when we start crawling, laying down on the ground, when the laboring of our hands and our deeds are no longer about Him and the Holy Spirit, the enactment, the substance, the reason that we've received divinity within the Trinity, then we're going to be upheaved with sin, wickedness, and death, the exact opposition. And I know that sounds preschool. It's black and white. It's biblical. Read right between the lines. How could you? How could you, Lord, forgive me? It states it clear. There's no other way to interpret it. You follow the word, the scripture, you make it relevant. You yeed the bread, you let it raise, you put it in the oven, you grow it, you cut it on up, you break it, you feed. You digested the body, the blood. Yes, of course. I'm consuming it. I'm taking it. I'm giving it life. But the moment that you walk outside and you forget about your bread, or you forget about your garden of life, or all of a sudden there's some wickedness, there's some deceptiveness, there's inequity that's more important than having the deliverance of the Holy Spirit, well, then you might have fallen asleep, a loss of hope, or a loss of hope, or a hope of loss. I only hope for loss at this moment. That's all I have. Give me the opportunity. Give me the opportunity to prove that I have a hope of loss. And I will show you that I no longer believe in God and I no longer believe in Christ. Whew. My own personal devotions and testaments. Notice how I own that statement. Of course, that's not the way that I live or walk, proclaim it, thought, theory, reason, intellectually compelled by physically demanding of nature. Whew, God-given, yes, of course, not creature-taken, God-given. So it goes back to Him, and He is the reason that I am saved, the reason that I am redeemed. And you notice that when you have God, it doesn't mean that you have to be forced with everybody else, but it reminds you that their personal preference, ethical and morale, the way that they interpret it, they read it, they walk within it, is no longer relevant. In fact, it is the love for God. In fact, it is that we are all together because that's a child of God. I see somebody completely random walking down the road, and I don't like the things that they're doing and the things that they're saying. Somebody looks over me and they says, "You think we ought to get them? We probably flip them upside down. We can roll them real quick, see what they got going on in their life." I'm not sure. The only thing I can tell you is you better be careful. I think that's a child of God. How many of us look at our daily enactments, the decisions we're making, in that type of mindset? Because we're quick to condemn, we're quick to point the finger, to tell somebody else what's right or what's wrong for us, or what's right or what's wrong for them, like we're God on earth. So how many of us, we look at it like, you know what? I can't make no decisions on that family. I mean, you need something. Don't be afraid to ask, by the way. Ask and you shall receive. Seek and you shall find. But I find it impossible because of the tongues, because of the language, because of the DNA, because of the pulse, the blood, the body, what is given to me, the breath that's within my lungs. I find it impossible for me to judge God's creation. No, I mean, that's a child of God. I mean, you're going about it the wrong way. You ain't going to get anywhere. That's a child of God. Love shall not be prevented when our direct reference to God and what did God give us, do for us, is no more than God is love. And it's unconditional and it leads to acceptance. You ain't gotta be, it ain't gotta be right for anybody else, but your belief needs to be right for you. There's nobody in the world, and I mean nobody, that we are allowed, shall we be permitted in any way, shape, or form, task or agenda, in thought, theory, reason, in verbal reformation, the way we speak or will walk, the actual acts behind the laboring of our deeds, so devoted within our testament that it's no more than an equity to somebody else. Well, you're not allowed to be a cost and expense to God, because God lies within them. Heart, soul, mind, thought, word, and deed, because he speaks volume with them in every way, shape, and form. Oh, no, 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 no. I'm not going to sleep. I'm not falling asleep. I don't want to hear what the other person said. No, I got my true and my true God, and I'm holding him near and dear to my heart, soul, and mind. Some of us, we don't have it. We don't want to have it. Where'd you go? Where'd you come from? And by the way, what's so very relevant? If each and every one of us could put all the limitations and restrictions to the side, before you know it, they're no longer relevant. I'm hearing individuals arguing each and every day, political preferences and agendas. Some cases, it's denominational factors. Oh, no, in ancient times, that would not be permitted. You are living in a life to where your God is alive. This is a living God. He adapts, he changes with modern times. As we continue to change, the church, the body, the state, it evolves. It changes with him. He knows every decision you're going to make. He knows you're going to be forgiven. You're going to be redeemed. I tell you what, if it don't work, you need to change something. It requires reformation. Society, belief, the way you breathe, think, see, and hear, perceive the world. What requires reformation when it don't work? So the next time you're upset, the next time you're upheaved, you're twist, turned, you're set back, you're failed, you have emotional attachment to resentment, or you feel empowered or defamed or deshamed by a topic of interest, think about what I'm saying. Who is it important to? Who can you change, and how are you going to change it? Being invested into matters, into topics, into subjects that aren't going to heaven, that aren't going to eternity, they're not providing sustainment within heart, soul, mind, thought, word, and deed. Where is he? Very good. Think about what I'm saying. It ain't going to get you anywhere. Your investment, your confession, the steadfastness of your pertinence. No, this is my priority. I need to hold God near and dear to my heart, soul, and mind. And as for your own personal family, your biological offspring, well, how can you love them? You can speak to them in tongues. I can learn how to love you for who you are. I'm sure of it. God has given me the ability, the talent, the mindset, the vision. I'm fulfilled with love, with compassion, with his interest in mine. I can learn how to love you. If this is what you value, I can learn how to appreciate it. It doesn't need to be right for me. Impossible. Most of us, that's impossible. I cannot, shall not love you for the belief that you've chosen, and I'm not willing to accept you. Oh, don't get me wrong. Consent is unforgiving. It's unconditional. No, I said no. There's no forgiveness that's needed for no, nor is there any forgiveness that's needed for yes. Those type of commitments are direct witnessing of God in Christ, the enactment of spiritual blessing and power. How many of you still believe in that? You're only as good as your word. Who's the witness of that word? It doesn't come back down to creature. I'm going to go talk to my brother this morning. What happened? Well, I mean, he did me wrong. He gave me his word. He's going to sell me this much land and sell me the property for this price. When it came down to it, he changed his mind. I'm going to go talk to somebody else about it. I'll tell you, I mean, vengeance belongs to God. And if you're going back down to creature as them being the witness, as them saying it's right or it's wrong, she did me wrong last night. She knew what I was in need of. Told me she had a headache, rolled right on over, and I'm still asleep. Somebody wake me up in the gospel. Did you find Christ? If you didn't, you need to move. Very good. It's what he gives us, delivers us, and puts within inside of us. What I've received from him is more than I can handle. I'm proclaiming it. I'm on fire. I need to testify it. I'm proclaiming it. You see anybody? Have you heard about God or Christ? Whoo! I'm thankfully redeemed. I'm happy. I'm saved. Yes, of course, because of him. So don't let the inequity be the defining factor. Don't let our personal preferences, ethical morality, denominational preference, demographics, right or wrong, righteous evil, yes or no, be the defining factors. If every variable and variance, remove the variables, only led to you having sustainment, the mindset only led to you having sustainment, and you didn't have anything bad to offer anybody, and you didn't even have a comparison notion, just only about acceptance, unconditional love, you might be capable of starting to embrace love and to speak within the tongues, the language. We all want to be loved. We all want to be receptive to love. I want you to love me the way that I know you love me and you know I love you. I want to be receptive. But if love is one-sided or it has a restriction, a limitation, I just don't feel like you love me right now. That's God talking to you. That's the Holy Spirit in the tongue speaking to you. It's the language working its way out of you. You still got to find another way to love that creature, that human being. That's God's creation. And in some cases, it's your child. It's your children. In some cases, it's your spouse. It's your spouses or your girlfriends. It's the ones that you got to show love for. I mean, you try awful hard to judge and condemn each and every day. I'm not sure what I'm supposed to do for you. What would you like me to do for you? But somebody that's on the other side of the fence, it's painted, it looks nice, the house is standing. Oh, very good. Think about somebody that's on the other side of the fence. I'm over here, I'm going to try awful hard every day. I'm going to try awful hard to make sure that I'm loving you, that I'm finding love with what you got going on. Some of us, we wake up and we don't even know what happened the night before. Now all of a sudden when life starts completely over, we're strangers to the ones that we love. How can you live with strangers? You don't know who they are, what they want, or what they need. So love is no more than the proclamation of trying to love the strangeness, the unknown. Find that love within that other person and invest in that. I love you. No, I love you. Yeah, I love you. Find the love within that other person and invest in it. Don't be afraid to invest in them and invest in the love that they have. Be receptive to it. If it's a stranger of love, I'm not capable or I'm not competent, don't be afraid to walk away. Some of us, we look real nice when we turn the other cheek, cleaned up real well. Yeah, so don't be afraid to walk away from it. Don't forget unconditional, blameless. I don't owe anybody anything. They don't owe me anything. But I choose to find love within this relationship each and every day so that the language becomes relevant when I talk it, when I speak it, when I start living. And what I have to give and offer to you is no more than love, the purest form of testament of his language and the devoted mercy that I have received. Lord, help me. Let me wrap this up in prayer. Remember to love, though. Yes, that sounds so challenging and so hard, doesn't it? But it truly is an investment. And opposition, by the way, when you find darkness and you seek darkness, that also is an investment. Be invested in the lightness. Be invested in love, in grace, and glory. Stop worrying about things you can't change. Who cares? Did God in Christ tell you you couldn't be alive? I didn't think so. God, help me. Let me wrap this up in prayer. Our graciously Heavenly Father and Christ our Savior Redeemer, with all the vision, the love, the testament, the devotion, the salvation, the body and blood in the church state, let us be reminded of all of the acts, the laboring, the deeds, the love, the compassion, the caring that we have received and all of it that we have rejected. Let us be reminded that daily most of us find some way, shape, or form of God's love and creature's love to reject. We don't want to hear it. No, I ain't got time for you. It ain't. No, we're walking away from it. Let us be receptive to it, to receptive to the love, and let us be receptive to the different forms, the shapes, the tones, the colors, the interpretation. Let the language speak near and dear to our hearts, souls, and minds, to our thought, to our words, our deeds. Let our bodies, our temples, be a true proclamation of the gift of guidance that we have received, for the Holy Spirit is alive within this living God and the enactment that keeps us safe. With love, with knowledge, with grace, with growth, continue to provide us with everything that we shall need to be capable of providing for you. In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, in Christ our Savior's name we pray. Amen. Don't forget to follow me Facebook, Instagram, Twitter. Check out the Buzzsprout feed. Thank you for listening and the continued support and giving and donating. Rest assured that everything that you're doing for Life or Death Ministries is making a very big impact on the world, not only here locally, but at the world abroad and some of the different missions that we're capable of carrying out because of you. If you shall have any questions or seek out sources, resources in any way, shape, or form, feel free to reach out with any questions, and I will respond and get back to you just as soon as possible. Have a very, very good day, and don't forget to be alive, to live and speak the language. Remember, the way you walk is the language of deliverance that God has given you. There is no right or there is no wrong answer. God bless you. Have a very, very good day. Thank you.